Hello and welcome to Good Questions, Real Answers. I'm Kimberly with Lion and Lamb Ministries. This is our director, Monty Judah. Hello, Monty.
Good morning.
Welcome back to our set.
Thank you.
Awesome. And we have many, many more questions from you viewers. Thank you so much for sending your questions. I tell you, Monty, the emails are just amazing.
Well,
and our viewers, as we know, are good studiers, and we're getting good, good, good questions. So thank you so much. Keep them coming. Also, I do want to make a note. If you don't get an answer from me from email, please don't fret. We're getting so many now that I just cannot answer each one personally. However, we will be using questions on the air, as you know, and those questions will be filed for us to have on the show. So keep them coming. We love your questions. Keep studying and hang in there with us.
All right. You mean the ministry doesn't have one of those telephone things where you have multiple people in the counters?
No, we don't have a phone bank.
It's just us?
It's just us.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
And by the way, that reminds me to say, and you know, there's just a few of us here. We're a small staff, but we do, I think, mighty
work
with the Holy Spirit's help. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I have to tell you, this first question is representative of many that have come in the last couple of months.
Okay.
So I thought, you know, it's time to get an answer so people can have an answer. Jennifer is wondering.
Okay.
I have seen all your thoughts on King Charles, you know, the videos and teachings.
Yes. Yes.
With his recent diagnosis of cancer, does it change your mind that he might be the coming Antichrist? Please give some insight on your thoughts and opinions, and thank you for all your teachings that you provide.
Okay, so my ministry, one of the things I've done for the life, my life, is to keep track of the life of was Prince Charles who became King Charles. And one of the things I've shown parallels to is there's a lot of things about his life and a lot of things associated with him that seem to line up with some of the identifying prophecies of the anti-Messiah that's in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
The way I super summarize this, I basically broke the list of identifying prophecies down to 41 total.
Wow.
And I right now, prior to the Great Tribulation, Prince or King Charles, I should say, identifies with 21 of those.
Okay.
Now it's not conclusive,
right?
But he identifies with enough that it, I have, as I've urged other people, keep watching him.
Yes.
Pay attention to him.
Right.
He is a candidate that's worthy of us watching. Have I declared for certain he is the Antichrist? The answer is no.
No.
The scripture says that God will declare who the Antichrist is
That's
at the
right.
start of the Great Tribulation. He'll make a declaration.
Yes.
You know, with regard to that. But we are told to watch and be wise with regard to the subject. So that's what we've been doing. Now, King Charles has come along, and all of a sudden, he's been diagnosed with cancer. We're not quite sure exactly what the cancer is. There is a lot of speculation that it may be pancreatic cancer.
Yes.
Pancreatic cancer is really a death sentence to many people.
Yes.
And there's even some speculation that says he's probably got 6 months to live.
Wow.
And in fact, there's speculation going on that Prince William is now in the next 6 months is being groomed to become king.
Wow.
So that's how serious it is. At
yes.
least that's the best rumor mill
right.
that we have of the royals.
Yes.
Is he going to be cured of cancer? I don't know. I do know that they are taking the matter very seriously medically, and he's completely off of his public schedule, and he's in full-blown treatment to try to change the cancer diagnosis so that he can live. What's going to happen? Well, I guess we're going to watch, and we're all going to see for ourselves.
Yes.
Now, so what's that do to the preliminary conclusions and the calculations of identifying the Antichrist? Well, obviously, if he passes away and he's no longer on the earth, then we're going to have to look for somebody else.
Yes.
I mean, that's just as simple as it can be.
Yes.
His son, okay, we'll have to look at him in much greater detail if that should take place.
Yes.
I don't know what Prince William's title will be as king if by chance he becomes king.
Yes.
It may be that his name will be different. And as a result, there'll be a calculation. He could potentially take on the name Charles when he becomes king.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So
I
the
never
Charles
thought about
thing could still transfer over to him, even though he's called Prince William at the
moment.
We don't know. We're just going to have to watch and
Yeah.
see how all this plays out. But at a minimum, we know this. We know that this is bringing great empathy. And by the way, I think it's appropriate. Anybody that has cancer, we should be empathetic of
Of
them.
course.
It's a horrible disease.
Yes.
My first wife died of cancer. I know about how that hurtful that is.
Yes.
So we'll just have to see how all of this plays out in the near
Yes.
future, and whether or not there will be significant enough changes with Prince William becoming king, if he does, and see how all those identifying prophecies then fit against him.
Yes.
That's a future thing that would have to be done.
Yes.
The thing I want to say to everybody with regard to this subject is, I have always said that if you're the last generation, and I believe we are,
Yeah, absolutely.
then the anti-Messiah should be alive in the world with us somewhere, waiting to
Make
take that
things,
role.
yes.
So we should be looking at a real candidates that could fulfill those prophecies and be a part of it. That's the reason why I have focused in on him, paid attention to him. That's the reason why I pointed out the corollaries
Sure.
associated with it. But let me just summarize it again. Is it conclusive that King Charles is the Antichrist? Heck no.
No, right.
Heck no. It's just he's the leading candidate. There's a whole bunch of other prophecies he has to fulfill to be the guy.
Of course.
Well, the same can be said about anybody else that we want to speculate about.
Sure.
So that's basically my answer at this point. It's
Yes.
very intriguing that this news has come in as just after he's become king, because he waited all of his lifetime for it.
He sure did.
And we'll just have to see how all of this plays out.
Yes.
I guess that's the best answer I have for you at the moment.
Okay. Well, and I think that's good too that you're reminding not only our audience, but anyone who may stumble across this broadcast on YouTube that you've never said he is. You've always said we're watching.
He's the leading candidate.
Yes, we're watching. We're matching scripture to him and
There
others.
are some others that have gone beyond what I've said.
Yeah.
There's others who've taken the materials I've done and drawn the conclusion.
Yes.
But I didn't draw that conclusion.
Right.
All I did was draw your attention to that he's the leading candidate. By the way, at the end of the age, we have somebody that does line up with a whole bunch of that stuff.
Yes. Yes, indeed. And so we're watching, folks. That's what we're doing. And as we should be watching. The Bible tells us to watch, be praying constantly and watching all of the events that are taking place. And like you said, we're charged with paying attention to what's going on, paying attention to certain, people that may be world leaders, not just for that purpose, but for other purposes as well.
Well, this whole last generation, the whole world does do that. The believing community,
Yes.
anybody that pops up in world prominence is immediately, the question is that could they be the Antichrist?
That's
I
right.
mean, that's a normal thing that's been going on for a generation.
Yes.
So we're just talking about the normal stuff that we pay attention to.
That's right. Okay. Gary sends this question in to you. He says, I'm married. This is my second marriage. I cheated on my first marriage. I am still getting to understand marriage from a biblical point of view. The question is if I'm married right now in the Lord's eyes. In other words, is his second marriage a marriage in the Lord's eyes? It's given that he cheated with his on his wife in the first marriage.
Okay, the first marriage, you made a covenant of marriage, but you broke the covenant.
Yes.
Okay, you broke the covenant. You got a divorce. Okay,
Yes.
that covenant's over with. You're going to suffer the consequences of that for the rest of your life.
Yes.
You broke a covenant. Now you entered into a new covenant with a new wife.
Yes.
Did God hear those vows of that covenant? Yes. Is he going to hold you to that covenant? Yes.
Yes.
My recommendation is don't make the same mistake you made the first time.
Amen.
Be faithful and truthful to your vows. God heard them. He allowed you to make them. Now you need to keep them.
Yes.
So be faithful to your second wife,
Yes.
and you've repented. By the way, let's go ahead and talk about the theologically. So, what's the real penalty about breaking a vow? Well, according to the law of God, when you break a vow, you put a curse on yourself.
Yes.
I got some good news for you. This is the reason why Yeshua was hung on a tree.
That's right.
He who hangs on a tree is cursed. Yeshua was cursed. He took the penalty of the curse for you as well as the penalty for your sins.
Amen.
So any curses against you, in other words, this is what Colossians talks about. When Yeshua was hung on the cross, he took all the ordinances that were against us, the ordinance for sin unto death, the ordinance of breaking a vow to a curse. He took all the ordinances that were against you. He paid the price for all of them.
Yes.
So that that penalty is paid.
Yes, indeed.
Including you were unfaithful in your first marriage.
Yes.
Not only for the adultery, but for breaking the vow.
Yes.
So.
And with the repentance, he's now found happiness with a new wife. And God has honored that. He hears the vow, you've said.
So you now understand what God has done for you.
Yes.
So be faithful to him then.
Yes, indeed. All right. Our next question comes from Mark. And he has a question about Acts 15:29. He said, it's a simple question, but it's really important to him.
Okay.
He says, the Bible says to abstain from blood, to mm-hmm. abstain from eating blood. The Strong's number for blood in this passage is G129. I'm sure you know this is so I'll keep it short, he says. Is it to abstain from blood or bloody flesh? And so he's wondering if, you know, people who eat very rare meat, or even steak tartare, for example, raw meat, is that okay? Because the Bible says don't eat blood.
Okay. Well, to answer this question, you have to, what is being discussed in Acts 15?
Yes.
In that particular passage, that is the instruction that was given to the Gentiles who'd come to faith, and they were answering the question, well, what do we say to this new Gentile believer about keeping the law?
Yes.
What commandments are they supposed to keep? Well, James is the one who renders the judgment for all of the apostles that was there. And what he says, I believe that we should send a letter. It's called the letter to the Gentiles, mm-hmm. to all of these Gentile believers, that they should do three things. They should abstain from idolatry, abstain from blood, and abstain from immorality.
Yes.
Okay. Now, whether you want to understand this or not, let me just tell you, he just summarized the teaching of what is called the heart of the law. That teaching comes from Leviticus chapter 17 and 18. Now, if you read those two chapters, you're going to get a lot of details as to what does it mean, abstain from idolatry, abstain from blood, and abstain from fornication.
Yes.
Because it's going to cover all of the stuff.
Yes, it
okay?
does.
So basically, let me summarize for you what it is. He was saying that if you're going to be in fellowship with us Jewish believers, you're a Gentile believer, you're going to be in fellowship, you cannot bring the idols and the false gods of the nations in with you.
Right.
By the way, the Gentiles were mixed with all kinds of gods.
Yes.
You're going to have to believe in one true God, the God of Israel, Messiah, King of Israel.
Yes.
King of Kings. That's the only God permitted here. You cannot mix with another God. Number two, if you're going to have table fellowship with us, you're going to eat what we eat.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, the summary statement of what we call kosher, fit and proper, clean and unclean, is to abstain from blood. That is the phrase used in the Bible that summarizes all of the commandments
yes.
associated with what is considered food and what is permittable. Now, the reason why that's said is because God says, I don't care if it is a clean animal or not, when you butcher it, okay, slay it.
Yes.
You have to do it mercifully, and you must vacate the blood out of the animal.
Yes.
You don't get to eat the blood of a clean animal.
Right.
It's the life
it's the
of
life.
The animal. Give
That's
the right. life of the animal back to me. You can have its flesh.
Yes.
Okay. The final thing is all the stuff about fornication, lesbianism, homosexuality, bestiality, pedophilia, it covers it all.
Yes.
Okay. So when it says fornication, it's talking about all sexual aberrant behavior.
Yes.
Well, that's the same way that expression about abstain from blood. It's a simple phrase, but it's really referring to all of the teaching concerning clean and unclean and things we call food.
Yes.
So let's go to the specifics of a particular menu dish, tartare.
Yes.
Raw beef.
Yes.
Okay. When in the butchering process that's done today, and people who do their own butchering, they usually hang the animal.
Yes.
You know, after they butcher it. And the reason why that is to allow all the blood to vacate.
That's right.
Okay? They purposely slay the animal so that the blood is vacated. By the way, when you slit the throat, of an animal,
Yes.
the heart pumps faster. Guess
Yeah.
what it does? It pumps the blood out of
Out.
the body.
That's right.
The heart, as it dies, vacates the blood.
Yes.
That's a known fact.
Yes.
For very observant Jews, very observant people, they want to make sure they're doing this properly. You can go down to the store, and this is the custom. You can go down to the store and you can buy this big box called kosher salt. It's very coarse salt.
Yes.
And if you want to really wash the meat and make sure it's definitely do it, you lay out your meat, you wash it, you lay it out, and you sprinkle all of this kosher salt over it, and you let it sit. And that salt will draw out anything that remains in the tissue. It'll draw out fluids, blood,
Whatever it is.
whatever there is.
Yes.
And then you wash the salt away, and therefore you know that piece of meat is very
Clean.
clean.
Yes, indeed.
Okay. And so that's what we call koshering or making it fit and proper.
Yes.
Now, depending on how strict you are in your observance of kosher,
Yes.
and there's different levels of it.
Sure.
There's rabbinical kosher, there is biblical kosher. Most messianics, we follow what's called biblical kosher. We
Yes.
don't go to some of the extremes the rabbinical kosher does. And so, but it's all a definition of to what standard are you going to take what God has called us to do.
Yes.
So let's see, I've got tartar in front of me. Now I know tartar is not mixed, is not made by grandma.
Right.
I'm talking about it's in a professional kitchen
Yes.
where they have cleanliness standards.
Yes.
And by the way, the food is made clean. I
Yes.
mean, they wash it, they take care of it. Not my particular taste. I kind of like my meat burned. Quite honestly,
Well done.
I like, well, no, I just like, I like some of that char. I need more carbon in my system. I need the fat to be burned.
Yes.
I think flat burned fat tastes better. And so that's what I wouldn't prefer that dish.
Right.
But am I going to stand here and say, no, you can't do that? No, that there's no commandment that prohibits you of that. The commandment is to not eat the
The
blood of
blood,
the animal.
right.
Now, in the butchering process, they've removed the blood.
Right.
In the cleaning process, they've also removed other things for it so that you can call it food and eat
Yes.
it. Let me go a step further with regard to fat. The Bible says that the fat belongs to the Lord. Well, what he's
Yes.
really talking about when you butcher the animal, there's big lobes of fat
Yes.
in the animal. And he says, I want the fat put on the altar. And there's big lobes that will be around vital organs for animals, lobes of fat. And those are put up there
Right.
also on the altar. He wants that on the altar for it. How about I cut a nice prime rib steak?
Okay.
And it's got that marbling of that fat going through there. Is that what he was talking about?
No.
No, he's not talking about that at all. That's ingrained within the tissue and the flesh.
Right.
We're not talking about lobes of fat.
Right.
And by the way, you kind of are looking for a steak that has some of that marbling
Because it
look in it
tastes
because
better.
it tastes better.
That's right.
And it's more delightful. It's more
Yeah.
tender, and so forth. So I know a lot of people, they can't eat a piece of meat unless it's absolutely burned
Yeah.
to a crisp almost to make sure that everything is taken care of. Whatever your preference is, that's your own
Yeah.
appetite, your
So
own personal.
rare is not the
Rare is not the problem.
that's not the problem. The
That's
problem
not the
is
problem.
the actual, if there were actual blood from the animal
No,
there.
by the way, there are people who will drain blood from a living animal, mix it with other ingredients,
Yes.
and make something to eat with it.
I know.
And they will eat the life of the animal while the animal is still
That's
alive.
not
And that's
okay.
considered by God to be an abomination.
Yes.
If you're going to use the animal, then give its life back to me so that you can have life from its flesh.
Yes, indeed.
You're not supposed to be doing anything else.
No.
That's and the part of the laws about clean and unclean are about to abstain from bizarre things that
Yes.
insult life.
Life. That's right.
And the life of an animal should be just as respected as the life of a person, as the life of
Yes.
a plant. We're not supposed to be here to just kill everything.
Right.
We're supposed to be here to live.
That's right.
So,
Abundantly. Yes. Okay. Thank you for that.
you bet.
I got some
New information there.
nuggets of new information myself. Okay.
Good.
Richard, ask your opinion on this question. Where are we on the prophetic timeline?
Okay, so my assessment of where we're at right now, we're the last generation. We are watching this Hamas-Gaza war at the moment. There is continuing discussion about the war erupting on the northern border.
Yes.
Anytime the northern border involving Israel and a war with that, we start looking at the Ezekiel 38-39 prophecy.
Yes.
That's a very significant prophecy that brings us to finally to the end of the age. The reason is because at the conclusion of that war, God's going to make a declaration for the Ezekiel 38-39 that the exile of the nations is now over,
Yes.
and God begins to pour out his spirit on the whole house of Israel.
Yes.
We're talking to Joel 2:28. You know,
Yes.
when he talks about when the northern army has been, Israel has been vindicated from the northern army, I will pour out my spirit on all mankind. And then what it leads to, the events of the end of the age, it leads to the day of the Lord, the great tribulation, and all that.
All of that stuff.
So we're watching very closely that military conflict.
Yes.
Will it erupt into fulfilling the Ezekiel 38-39 prophecies? What we can say at this point is we definitely see all the nations of the world coming against Israel,
Yes, we sure do.
including the United States.
Yes.
And so all of those things are building. And I've always said this Ezekiel 38-39 war, this is going to be a very, very dangerous moment for Israel.
Yes.
That Israel is going to be hard pressed in this. And I'm praying and hoping, quite honestly, they'll get hard pressed enough that they'll call upon the God of Israel
Yes, cry
for
out to the
deliverance.
Lord. Amen.
Now, we already see some elements of people crying out for release of hostages
Yes.
for Hamas. So we see the atmosphere is building to where Israel is continually calling out to the Lord, or beginning to call out to the Lord, but
Yes.
we just need to see more of it. I would remind you that the children of Israel, when they were in Egypt, there was a period of time before God sent Moses to deliver them out of Egypt in which they were crying out to the Lord because of
Yes,
their taskmasters.
that's right.
So we seem to have that same dynamic going on here
Yes.
at the same time. So in my opinion, in the prophetic scenario, we're on the brink of that. We're waiting for that to complete. Once that's completed, then we move to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and we start moving quicker and quicker toward the start of the Great Tribulation.
Wow,
If
we're
Israel
close.
is very successful in that war, it wouldn't shock me a bit for Israel to seize control of part of the Temple Mount and rebuild the altar.
That's right. That's right. We're close. We know that for sure. Okay. Catherine has a question about faith that has her troubled. She says, why has the Lord allowed the massacre to happen? Speaking of the war with Hamas, on October 7th, the death of the hostages. She knows about the Ezekiel 38-39 war. She's been studying that. But why have these terrible things been allowed to happen to, for example, the Israeli women and girls that we've heard about all the horrible things they've been through? And she says it's not that it's making her turn away from the faith, that's not what she's saying,
Right.
but it's affecting her such that she can't
Right.
believe the Lord would allow it to happen.
Well, so let's step back and let's be kind of big picture
Yes.
philosophical. Why do bad things happen to good people? Well, that's a question that we've been trying to answer for a long time.
Yes.
And it isn't necessarily just Israel that I mean, we know lots of good people that bad things happen to. Why did my wife, who is such a wonderful person, get cancer and lose her life at the age of 60? I mean, she was a wonderful person. I wanted to
Yes.
see her live a long time, see her
Sure.
grandchildren grow up. So did she. Why did that happen? And in between everybody that we know that know me, she was a wonderful person. Did lots of great things for the Lord. Why would
Yes.
do it? You know, there's a strange verse in the Psalms that says sometimes God is merciful and takes certain people out to spare them from the harm that's coming in the future.
Yes.
We don't know really what that means. We don't, what harm are you talking about? You know, we don't know.
We don't know. That's right.
And I don't, you know, God is the author and finisher of life. He's the
Yes.
one that's in charge of the whole universe.
Yes.
And I admit that God is way smarter than me. But sometimes God does things that I don't understand.
Right.
But he says his ways are above my ways and his thoughts above my thoughts.
That's right.
But I do believe this of God. I believe he's just and true.
Yes.
I believe he loves us. I believe he's loves us even more than we understand. And I believe he fulfills his promises.
Yes, indeed.
So in sorting out all of the details down here on the earth as to what's going on, why is this happening, why is that happening, all I can say to you is just like what she said, I'm going to continue to believe the best of what the Lord has said,
Yes.
despite I'm not necessarily in agreement or happy about necessarily what's happening here.
Right.
As long as I'm able to avoid some of these catastrophic things that take place, I'm going to be thanking God for his mercy.
Yes.
You know, there's an old expression that I like to use frequently. There go I, but by the mercy of God. When I
Yes.
see things that have harmed others,
Yes.
that's me, but I'm here by the mercy of God.
Amen.
I've been spared from that.
Yes.
And that's all that's as best I can offer you. And by the way, we're talking about dealing with grief.
Yes.
There is no proper answer that will ever satisfy the need for grief.
That's right.
You have to even be careful saying to a person who's grieving, I understand. You have to, because quite honestly, in their grief, their personal grief, you probably don't.
Right.
But you can be loving, you can be understanding,
Yes.
and you keep going forward and you keep believing.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. We always hold fast to the Lord.
By the way, every one of those guys on October 7th that did that harm,
Yes.
I can assure you, they will pay the price.
Oh, yes.
That's
Vengeance is
another
mine,
thing.
saith the
That's
Lord.
another thing I believe about God.
Amen.
There
Just
will
and
be
true.
justice.
Just like you said, just and true.
Yeah.
Okay, this is a quick last question.
Okay.
Kevin has this question for you. He says he's looking forward to your teaching of the letters of Paul. And he's wondering, he said, you've said before that Paul was trained as a Pharisee. His question is Messianic teaching actually of the Sadducees of Scripture? Are there other writings to help with that understanding?
There are differences between Pharisees and Sadducees about certain observances and certain things associated with that. And Messianics, for the most part, if you're going to use those two categories, there are
Yes.
some things that we agree with the Pharisees on, there's some things we agree with the Sadducees on. But I would say that's not really the proper scaling. I would say what we Messianics do, we're going to adjust to what Moses said and what Yeshua taught.
Yes.
That is what we're going to use as our standard. If it coincides that a Pharisee agreed with that or a Sadducee agreed with that, so what?
Okay, yeah.
We're going to do what the Lord said
Yes.
and what he instructed to be done. So I know that when we look at the things of custom and tradition, we have Judaism in front of us and modern day Jews and so
Yes.
forth. I know that's what's in front of you, but believe me, we're trying to pursue what did Moses teach? What did Yeshua
Yes,
teach?
that's right. Amen to that. All right. Well, folks, that's all the questions we have time for today. We hope that you will check out our brand new streaming platform, lionandlamb.tv, where you can find all of our programming, our events. We're even going to be live streaming on that channel very soon, different events that are coming up. So please go to lionandlamb.tv, where you can find all the subscriptions there at a level, that you can afford. And we hope that you'll join us on that. And we pray that you've got a great time of learning with us today. We hope that you'll be back next week. Monty, will you lead us in
Well,
prayer?
first of all, get the
Yes.
big one. You'll like it a lot more.
Yes, the premium level is the
Okay.
one.
All right.
Yes.
That's the one you really want.
Yes.
Father, thank you for the day that we've had here answering questions. We pray again by your Holy Spirit that you would take the answers that were offered to these questions. Use them, Lord, to build up the most holy faith of all of our brethren that observe this broadcast. And we pray for them, Lord, asking you to strengthen and encourage them in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. See you next week, right here. Don't forget to subscribe and like, share, or comment on our program. Bye-bye.